Welcome to the NTEB Radio Bible Study with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Grider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good evening, everybody. Happy Sunday, and welcome to this edition of Rightly Dividing. My name is Jeff Grider. I'm the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com, and tonight, for the next 2 hours, I have the honor and the privilege of being your radio host and Bible teacher. Tonight, the 9 little words of Jesus in the Bible that strikes terror into the hearts of men like John Hagee and Pope Francis. If you have spent any time at all reading through your Bible, then you know that ticking time bombs lay in wait for the hapless reader at every possible turn. Some books of the Bible much more than others, but there is a verse contained in John 14 that is so explosive and so inflammatory that men like Pope Francis, John Hagee, Freemasons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, and many countless others refuse to even pick it up should they find themselves in the wrong company. What 9 words am I talking about? Come and see. John 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. On this episode of Rightly Dividing, we are mining the depths of the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, the majority of which is church-age doctrine, and finding verses that blast and baffle the post-millennialist, the post-tribulationist, all Catholic popes, Church of Christ waterdogs, Freemasons, John Hagee, and just about everyone other than a rock-solid Bible believer. On this episode of Rightly Dividing, we will show you the awesome and the awful destructive power of these 9 little words in their context. And if you were looking for a nitro shot of Bible truth to increase your faith in the book, you're in luck. Tonight is your night. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you've gathered here. And we thank you so much for such a wonderful Sunday service this morning. And Lord, your Holy Spirit just took over and preached through me. And what a blessed time in the Word that we had this morning. And Father God, tonight as we open up the Scripture of Truth, we ask you to meet with us once again and show us, Lord, the deep things, the hidden things, anything from your Word, Lord. Our hearts and minds are open. Our Bibles are open. We want truth, Lord. However you want to give it to us, we'll take it, we'll receive it, and we'll give you all the honor and glory for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Tonight we're talking about those 9 little words. Now, if you think that I'm picking on people like Pope Francis and John Hagee and the Freemasons, my own great-grandfather was a 33rd degree Freemason. I know a little bit about what they believe. If you think that I'm picking on any one of these individuals, I'm not. But I'm going to show you a curious phenomenon that takes place with the 9 little words. The number 9 is the fruits of the Spirit. I'm going to show you this curious phenomenon that takes place with these 9 little words in John 14:6 that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. 3 times he tells you exactly what he is. Using the definitive article, he is the way as in the only way. He is the life as in the only life. And he is the truth, as in the only truth. And tonight we're going to look at that plus a whole bunch of other stuff that we find here in John chapter 14. And it's going to increase your faith. It's going to show you that the Bible is true. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. And I'm going to tell you some true-to-life stories about people who really, really don't know what to do with John 14, verse 6. I'm going to show you where it sidelined John Hagee. I'm going to show you where it sidelined Pope Francis. And I'm going to show you why these words are so explosive. And it's going to be, again, we're not picking on anybody, but I'm using these people as an example of just how powerful these little words are. Jesus says that he is the way, as in the only way. If you're a minister of the gospel, you know as well as I do that it doesn't matter what company that you find yourself in. You are to be a witness of the truth of Jesus Christ. That means if you're talking to Jewish people, you don't suddenly stop talking about Jesus Christ like John Hagee does. If you are the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church and you claim to be the Vicar of Christ, well, you don't stop talking about Jesus Christ as being the only way just because you find yourself in a room filled with people who do not believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. We're going to show you all this and much, much more on tonight's Rightly Divided King James Bible Study. So glad that you're here.
Is there words for him? Then I don't have them. You see, my brain has not yet reached a point where it could form a thought that could adequately describe the greatness of my God. And my lungs have not yet developed the ability to release a breath with enough agility to breathe out the greatness of his love. And my voice, you see, my voice is so inhibited, restrained by human limits, that it's hard to even send the praise up. You see, if there are words for him, then I don't have them. My God, his grace is remarkable. Mercies are innumerable. Strength is impenetrable. He is honorable, accountable, favorable. He's unsearchable yet knowable. Indefinable yet approachable. Indescribable yet personal. He is beyond comprehension, further than imagination. Constitute generations, king of every nation. But if there are words for him, then I don't have them. You see, my words are few. And to try and capture the one true God using my vocabulary would never do. But I use words as an expression of worship to a Savior who is both worthy and deserving of my praise. So I use words. My heart extols the Lord, blesses his name forever. He has won my heart, captured my mind, and his bound them both together. He has defeated me in my rebellion, conquered me in my sin. He has welcomed me into his presence, completely invited me in. He has made himself the object of my sight, flooding me with mercies in the morning, drowning me with grace in the night. But if there are words for him, then I don't have them. But what I do have is good news. For my God knew that man-made words would never do, but words are just tools that we use to point to the truth. So he sent his son, Jesus Christ, as the word, living proof. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, giving nothingness formation. And by his word he sustains in the power of his name. For he is before all things, and over all things he reigns. Holy is his name. So praise him for his life. The way he persevered in strife, the humble Son of God becoming the perfect sacrifice, praise him for his death, that he willingly stood in our place. face, that he lovingly endured the grave, that he battled our enemy, and on the third day rose in victory. He is everything that was promised. Praise him as a risen king. Lift your voice and sing. For one day he will return for us, and we will finally be united with our Savior for eternity. Eternity. So it's not just words that I proclaim. For my word points to the word, and the word has a name. Hope has a name. Joy has a name. Peace has a name. Love has a name. And that name is Jesus Christ. Praise his name forever.
Thank you. out of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all and all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as
thee, prone to wander, feel it, till it's full like courts above. Come now, fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy, never ceasing, call for song of loudest praise. Sweet
Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you, Lord, for this time of study in your word. And Father God, tonight we lift up to you Charlton's brother Martin, dealing with multiple health issues in the ICU, and he needs you to step in there and just take control, Lord, and just do something for him. Help out Martin, Lord. I don't know if he's saved. I think he might be. I don't remember what Charlton said. But pray for Martin's salvation. Pray that God will get him through this very trying health crisis that he's in. We're praying for Annetta. She had a stroke back in May, and she asked for prayers that she be able to walk again. Kevin Thompson is asking prayers for guidance about a possible move in November. Robert Wiley is battling ALS disease, and he needs our prayers. He's not afraid of going home, and he just doesn't want to be a burden to his family. He says he's ready to go. Sandy Thomas asking God to rule and overrule about her deceased husband's Social Security account, and she needs to get access to that. Bianca would like prayers for her husband Derek to restore his faith and prayers to restore their marriage. Raquel would like prayers for her 11-year-old son with an eating disorder. Amanda Mathias is very sick and she needs our prayers. Amara's mom, she needs prayer for a hip issue. Steph would like prayers for her husband Andy, who is battling alcoholism, and it's affecting their marriage and the business that they own together. Angela and her husband, Jeff, they need prayer. He needs to get saved, and she's asking for prayers for wisdom and courage to model a Christian wife to her unsaved husband. Amen. Eminem is asking prayers for Tim Kelly, who was in a major car accident and has a brain injury. Karen would like prayers for her sister's neighbors. They were involved in a major car accident. The mom is still unconscious and does not know that their 9-year-old daughter did not make it. And God is going to have to step into that situation and just do something. I don't even know where to begin with something like that, but God does. Carol from Georgia would like to see her family members get saved, her sister, cousins, and her aunt, who is 97. Suzanne Smith is asking us to pray for her gay neighbor named Vince, and praying that he would get saved, and I sure hope he does, and pray for her efforts to witness to him. Teresa S., my family will be leaving the Dominican Republic in a couple of days. Please pray for a smooth path from their door to safety of the hotel in Charlotte, North Carolina. Jeanette, praying for a new caregiver. Tracy, please pray for my family's salvation. I tried to preach to them, and all of them know that I love Jesus, but they don't care. The scripture about Jesus not being accepted in his own house comes to mind when they mock me. Amen. Kenny B. says, please pray for friends and family to get saved. Also, the devil has been working hard to keep me from praying or reading the Bible. I can't seem to focus and I get distracted. Hebrews 4:12 says that the word of God is quick and powerful. Open the book, and if you can't read it, just stare at the words and let the book do its work. That book is a living book. And don't close it. Open it up. The Bible does not have to be defended. It just has to be let out. Open the book and let the Bible do its work. Shannon says, please pray for me and the entire NTEB ministry team for continued strength, wisdom, and guidance, all for the glory of God. God has been blessing us so much. And indeed he has. In Uganda, Erad is telling us that the Cup of Porridge program is really expanding and asking us to pray for their results there, that God would continue to bless. And we pray that many of these dear Ugandan children will come to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Erad and his ministry team is working to put food in their belly and the gospel of the grace of God of Jesus Christ into their hearts. So please pray for Erad Bursch and his wife Elizabeth over there in Uganda, trying to get something done for the Lord. So Heavenly Father, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, we come before you and ask you to work and move as only you can. Father God, save where people need salvation, heal where people need healing and restoration, relieve burdens and fix finances and restore relationships between parents and children and spouses and family members. Father God, if you don't do it, it won't get done. And if you don't give it to us, we're not going to have it. So we throw ourselves at your feet and ask you to work and move as only you can for your glory, for our good. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn to John chapter 14, please. And we're going to do a Bible study tonight in the 14th chapter of the book of John, and Lord willing, we are going to cover the entire chapter, chapter number 14. Now, I have had this conversation many, many, many times, and I have no problem having this conversation. I enjoy the conversation. And when you look at the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And synoptic means that they all kind of go together and they are connected. But the Gospel of John is not like the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. How do I mean that? Well, for example, Matthew, Mark, and Luke talk to you about the kingdom of heaven. And if you've been coming to this Bible study for any length of time, you understand that the kingdom of heaven is the literal, visible, physical kingdom that God has promised to the Jewish people, and that is Israel. And Jesus is going to come back. Luke 1:32 says he's going to rule and reign from the throne of his father David. Luke 1:32. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke talk to us about things related to the tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble, the kingdom of heaven. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke do not talk to us about things related to the church age. And the Gospel of John, I am not saying that the Gospel of John is written to the church age. I am saying that the Gospel of John contains a lot of church age doctrine. John 3:3 and John 3:5 tells you that you must be born again if you want to enter the kingdom of God. Acts 28 tells you that the Apostle Paul preached the kingdom of God. So we understand when we connect those two things together, we understand that Paul knows, even though Paul doesn't mention the phrase being born again, he mentions everything else connected to it. Obviously, being born again is for the church age. It is not exclusively for the Jewish people. That is nonsense. So as we go through the Gospel of John, you get to John chapter 10. Have you ever read John chapter 10? What on earth is John doing talking about eternal security when Matthew, Mark, and Luke know nothing about that? John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30. John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now, you're not going to find that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. You know where you're going to find that? You're going to find that in Ephesians chapter 4. You're going to find that in Ephesians chapter 1. You're going to find that in the book of Romans. You're going to find that in Corinthians. You're not going to find that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So what on earth is John doing if all four Gospels are the same? But they're not. They're not even close to being the same. John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled, verse 1. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Now, does that sound like anything that you've heard before? Where do we find mansions in heaven? Is there any place in the New Testament or the Old Testament that shows us that there are mansions in heaven? How can that be? Revelation 21:1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And the chapter goes on to tell you all about New Jerusalem. There's your mansions. What are they doing in the Gospel of John? John 14:2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. So, what is New Jerusalem? It is a prepared place for a prepared people. And who is going to live in New Jerusalem? Well, the Apostle Paul, he tells you, the Apostle Paul says that New Jerusalem is the mother of us all. Galatians 4:26. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. So in John chapter 14, Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God the Father. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, I got a lot of mansions. That's New Jerusalem. I'm not lying to you. If it weren't so, I would have told you, and I'm going to go. I'm going to go, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. What do you mean, go? Turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put into his own power. Now, when we rightly divide, that's talking about Jesus returning at the second coming. But the pre-tribulation rapture of the church takes place before that. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 3, And if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So here we see salvation is in Jesus Christ alone. He is preparing New Jerusalem. He is going to come back and get us in the rapture. And Jesus says in verse 4, And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, John 14, 6. Here are those nine words, and I'm going to show you how those nine words trip up just about everybody who is not in line with that book. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is not a way, he is not a truth, he is not a life. He is using the definitive article. When he says that he is the way, he is saying he is the only way. When he says that he is the truth, he is saying that he is the only truth. And when he is saying that he is the life, he is the only life. And then he says, No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, you might be saying to me, well, what does this have to do with the Pope? The Pope talks about Jesus Christ all the time. And he does to certain groups of people. He does. You might say to me, well, I've been listening to John Hagee for years. He talks about Jesus Christ all the time. And to a certain group of people, he does. And to a certain group of people, he does not. Have you ever heard of a group called CUFI? It stands for Citizens United for Israel. And that group was created by John Hagee, and that group is, according to their own mission statement, they are a friend to Israel, and they are a blessing to the Jewish people. That's what John Hagee, when he gets up in the pulpit in his church on a Sunday morning, and he's preaching the gospel of the grace of God and telling lost people about Jesus Christ, you know what he's doing with the Jewish people? The same Jewish people that has given his CUFI organization millions and millions and millions of dollars? You know what he says to those people? I'm going to quote from an article that he gave in an interview to the Houston Chronicle. And this is what John Hagee said, and I quote, The Jewish people have a relationship to God through the law of God as given through Moses. I believe that every Gentile person can only come to God through the cross of Christ. I believe that every Jewish person who lives in the light of the Torah, which is the Word of God, has a relationship with God and will come to redemption. The law of Moses is sufficient enough to bring a person into the knowledge of God until God gives him a greater revelation. So, what does John Hagee tell the Jewish people? I have a friend that lives in Jerusalem, and about 10 years ago, she was excited. John Hagee came to speak to a private group of about 500 Jewish people in Jerusalem. And my friend was sitting in that group of people when she heard John Hagee say that Jewish people do not need Jesus Christ because they have God's covenant with Abraham. Did Jesus say that Abraham was the way, the truth, and the life? The people who died and went to Abraham's bosom, were they in heaven? No, they weren't. They were in the heart of the earth. Abraham does not get you to heaven. You know who gets you to heaven? Jesus Christ gets you to heaven. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, if that wasn't bad enough, about 11 years ago, John Hagee wrote a book called In Defense of Israel. And he made a TV commercial to promote that book back in 2010. So that's 12 years ago. Would you like to hear what he said in his own TV commercial? Would you like to hear the words that came out of John Hagee's mouth? Words that he himself wrote? Well, don't take my word for it. Listen to John Hagee denying that Jesus Christ came as the Messiah.
I'm delighted to present my latest book, In Defense of Israel. This book will expose the sins of the fathers and the vicious abuse of the Jewish people. In Defense of Israel will shape Christian theology. It scripturally proves that the Jewish people as a whole did not reject Jesus as Messiah. It will also prove that Jesus did not come to earth to be the Messiah. It will prove that there was a Calvary conspiracy between Rome, the high priest, and Herod to execute Jesus as an insurrectionist too dangerous to live. Since Jesus refused by word and deed to claim to be the Messiah, how can the Jews be blamed for rejecting what was never offered? Read it in this shocking expose, In Defense of Israel.
This latest book by Pastor John Hagee is destined to generate lively discussions among Christians the world over. It's available in most U.S. bookstores, or call the number on the screen and order your copy today. Call now or visit our website. Ask for offer B139.
So, you just heard John Hagee in his own voice telling you that the Jewish people did not reject Jesus Christ as Messiah. Oh, really? Matthew chapter 27. Therefore, when they, verse 17. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ, meaning Messiah? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife said unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus the Messiah. I added those two words, the Messiah, to verse 20, but the Holy Spirit already called him the Messiah in verse 17, so I think we're on safe ground. I'm just reminding you that when Jesus was presented to the Jewish people, and Pilate said, Which one should I release? Should I release the murderer, or should I release the Messiah? Which one do you want? And what was their answer? Their answer in Matthew chapter 27, they said, give us Barabbas. In verse 25 of 27, then answered all the people, his blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. John Hagee, in that TV commercial that he made for the book that he wrote, he lied to you. He said that the Jews never denied Jesus as Messiah because they never thought that he was the Messiah. Well, the Bible tells you they knew he was the Messiah and they killed him anyway. The Bible tells you that they watched the miracles, and the very first thing that was on their mind watching miracles take place was, we got to kill this guy. So, getting back to John 14:6, and those nine little words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When John Hagee stands up in front of his church, he tells his people about Jesus Christ. But when John Hagee stands up in front of Jewish people and millions of dollars are at stake, John Hagee says nothing about Jesus Christ. Do you remember a couple of years ago? Do you remember a couple of years ago when Donald Trump moved the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem? And if you were watching that take place on television, they asked John Hagee, the brave, bold Christian preacher from Houston, Texas, they asked John Hagee to stand up and to give a talk, a speech. They gave him his moment where the eyes of the entire world were on John Hagee speaking from Jerusalem on the occasion of the embassy finally being moved from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And John Hagee spoke for many, many minutes. And he talked about God, and he talked about a lot of things. And he never mentioned the name of Jesus Christ, the Savior. Not one time. And do you know why he never mentioned the name of Jesus Christ? Because if he did, every single connection that he has with his group that brings him in all that money, the next day, the phones would have stopped ringing. Nobody would be talking to him the next day. So what does John Hagee do? He stands up with the eyes of the entire world watching him, speaking from Jerusalem. And all he has to do is say, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by him. It's the easiest thing in the world. And those words never, ever came out of his mouth. And they never will in front of the Jewish people. Never, ever will he say that. So you see what I'm showing you here in John 14:6, when Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, when I first started Now the End Begins, somebody took me off to the side and they said, when you're witnessing to Jewish people, don't mention the cross. And I said, why wouldn't I mention the cross? And they said, Jewish people are offended when you mention that. and I started scratching my head. The cross is offensive. The cross is the sign of a curse. The Bible says, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And Jesus Christ became a curse for us. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Galatians 5:11, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. So I was told years ago that if I'm going to witness to Jewish people, there's certain things that I can't mention. You can't mention Jesus Christ. And if you do mention Jesus Christ, you can't use the name Jesus. You got to use the name Yeshua. Now, I have nothing against using Yeshua. I have no problem with that at all. But let me tell you something. Philippians 2:10 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. 1 Corinthians 1:2 says, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Acts 16:18, and this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and he came out the same hour. Acts 8:12, and when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. If you're going to witness to anybody, at any place, at any time, you've got to use the name of Jesus Christ. You don't have to cover it up. You don't have to make it palatable. You have to name the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that that name is the name that is above every name. What about the name of Jehovah? Nope. The name Jehovah is not above the name of Jesus Christ. At the great white throne, people are not bowing at the name Jehovah. They're bowing at the name of Jesus Christ. And if you can't mention that name, then you are not a witness for Jesus Christ. When we come back, now that we've set the table, we're going to come back and we're going to dig deep through John chapter 14. And we're going to see what God has for us tonight. We'll be right back after this. Bless his name. Sometimes I like to go down to the country and go old school. Great, great, great song that is. All right. Welcome back for hour two of tonight's Rightly Divided Bible Study, John chapter 14. We've been looking at verse number 6. And this verse is the verse that tells you who's lying to you and tells you who's telling you the truth. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know what the Bible says about God? The Bible says that God will not share his glory with another. I can't put my finger on that exact verse, but the Bible says that God is a jealous God and he will not share his glory with anybody. Now, you know that the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the manifest image of God. In John chapter 14, Jesus says that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. John 14:7, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father. We had a Bible study a couple of months ago about the Godhead. There's not three gods, there is one God. And God gave himself a body, he gave birth to a body, and that body is called Jesus Christ. And this is why Jesus says in John chapter 14 that if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And that is because that Jesus Christ is the body for God the Father. And that's what the Bible, don't tell me that's heresy. That's what the Bible declares to be true about Jesus Christ. Let's look at a couple of those verses, shall we? Let's remind ourselves. Let's remind ourselves who Jesus Christ really is. Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Colossians 2, 8 through 10. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him, in Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. When you look into the eyes of Jesus Christ, you know what's looking back at you? The Father is looking back at you. Do you not believe the Scripture? Do you not believe the Bible? Colossians 1, 13 through 15. Colossians 1, 13 through 15. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. So, what is John 14 telling you? Jesus says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Does Jesus Christ claim to be the Father? Well, the Father is in Him. That is absolutely what He is claiming. Jesus Christ is the body of God the Father. You don't believe me? Let's take another look. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the manifest image of God. Now, you know what that word manifest means? That word manifest, if you're a truck driver, you know that you have to carry what's called a manifest, and when you get pulled over, you got to show that to the police because they want to know what's inside your truck. You know what that manifest is? That manifest is a document showing the police what's inside your vehicle. 1 Timothy 3:16. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. What does that mean? The Bible says in one place that He was manifest in the flesh, and it says that in another place that I just read to you, that He is the manifest image of God. He is God manifest in the flesh. Do you believe the Scripture? Or do you believe the traditions of your church? Do you believe in one God or do you believe in three gods? But the Bible says that Jesus Christ is God the Father made manifest in the flesh. Now, are you starting to see those nine little words in John 14:6 when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life? You know what that means? That means that everybody who follows Muhammad is wrong. That means everybody who follows Buddha is wrong. everybody who follows Confucius, everybody who follows any way that is not Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life is wrong. Now, do you think that you're going to make a lot of friends? Do you think that you're going to make a lot of friends telling different groups of people that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life? But let me ask you something. Are you called to make friends and influence people? Or are you called to be a witness of Jesus Christ? And if you are called to be a witness of Jesus Christ, you have to tell people that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that you can't come unto God except through Him. Now, let's talk for a second about Pope Francis. If you're Catholic and you're listening tonight, you might say to me, well, don't go picking on my Pope. He talks about Jesus. And maybe he does talk about Jesus to you. But a couple of weeks ago, Pope Francis was the keynote speaker for the World Congress of Religions. And there was a whole big group of people that had come to listen to what Pope Francis had to say. There were Muslim people, there were Buddhist people, there were New Age people. The whole thing, if you watched it, the whole thing was like looking at a chick track come to life. And Pope Francis, he spoke for 29 minutes. And he talked to this World Congress of Religions. And he got them to sign his document of human fraternity. Have you ever read the document of human fraternity? I have. It does not mention the name of Jesus Christ. What is the document of human fraternity? It is a document by which Pope Francis is working to bring in world peace. And his document does not mention the name that is above all names, the name that is the way, the truth, and the life. So now, if Pope Francis was telling you the truth, he would put that right into his document. And somewhere in that document, he would say, if he was being honest with you, Pope Francis would tell you that human fraternity is not possible, world peace is not possible without Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. But Pope Francis didn't say that. He didn't write that. And when he met these people at the World Congress of Religions, and I think we did a podcast the same week that he did that. I think it was a Friday podcast from about a month ago. And at the time, I played the entire clip of everything he had to say when they were getting ready to sign that document. And Pope Francis did not mention the name of Jesus Christ one single time. And do you know why he didn't mention that name? Because the Muslims would have been offended. Because the Hindus would have been offended. Because the Buddhists would have been offended. So what did he do? He did not mention the name of Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. He did not tell them that world peace is impossible without Jesus Christ. Because if he would have told them the truth, he would have been immediately rejected. So, he lied to them. He left out the name of Jesus Christ and then talked about how everybody can band together and bring in world peace without Jesus Christ. Are you starting to see the power of John 14:6? These words that you have read 100 times, are you starting to see that when you go out into the world to be a witness of Jesus Christ, and if you want to see an excellent living illustration of what I'm talking about, get yourself some gospel tracts, go down to the street corner, and start preaching the gospel of the grace of God. And see how many people agree with you. The next time that you're invited to a Chamber of Commerce meeting, and if you're a pastor, if you're a minister, if you're a street preacher, why don't you stand up and say, "Ladies and gentlemen, can we open the meeting in the name of Jesus Christ?" Why don't you say that? John 14 tells you that He is the way, the truth, and the life. No arguments, no compromise. And so, if we are called to be witnesses of Jesus Christ, John Hagee says he's a witness of Jesus Christ, but he won't tell the Jewish people the truth. Pope Francis says he's a witness of Jesus Christ, but he just lied to every single member at the World Congress of Religion, and he lied when he created his document of human fraternity because he doesn't want to offend people. The name of Jesus Christ is offensive. How about this? Have you ever gotten into an argument with somebody and they try to tell you that when the Bible was written, there was no letter J, so the name of Jesus could not have been said, and therefore Christians should not use the name of Jesus, that it's related to Zeus or something like that? Have you ever heard that argument about the letter J? And yet the Bible says that the name of Jesus Christ is above every name. It says it in English, the world language, the one language that everybody in the world speaks. And there it is. There is that name that is offensive. There is that name that drives a wedge in relationships. There is that name that if you speak that name, you're going to lose clients. You're going to lose profits. I don't mean Old Testament prophets, I mean money. And so, what do modern Christians do? They get schizophrenic. And they have one message for Christians. They have one message for Jewish people. They have one message when they're talking to Muslims. Have you ever heard somebody tell you that, that the name Allah is the Arabic word for God? Have you ever heard people say that? Well, it's not true. It's not even close to true. The name Allah is the Arabic word for the idol Allah. That's what the word Allah is. The word Allah is absolutely not the Arabic name for the God and Father of the Bible. Take a listen to what Hillsong founder Brian Houston said just a couple of years ago.
The way you see God decides what you believe God does, what you believe God loves, and what you believe God blesses, where His favor will be. So I couldn't encourage any leader who wants to live purposefully and who wants to build a church that reflects the heart of God. I couldn't encourage you more to make sure that your view of the Master is through a New Covenant, New Testament lens, that we look at the Old Testament, which is so full of beauty and power and example and wonder, and it's so much of the whole tenor of God's message, that we need to look at it through the lens of the resurrection and the cross and back into it from where we stand now and not from where they stood then. Because otherwise, it's going to affect your ability to be purposeful in building and leading and bringing release and bringing freedom and seeing those things God puts in your heart come to pass. How do you view God in a desert? There's two types of birds. There's vultures,
mm-hmm.
and there's hummingbirds.
Oh, okay.
One lives off dead carcasses, rotting meat. The other lives off the beautiful, sweet nectar mm-hmm. in a particular flower on a particular desert plant. In the same desert, they both find what they're looking for. Do you know, take it all the way back into the Old Testament and the Muslim and you, we actually serve the same God, Allah, to a Muslim. To us, Abba Father, God.
Oh.
And of course, through history, those views have changed greatly. But let's make sure that we view God through the eyes of Jesus, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the beauty of...
Did you hear what he said? Did you hear he said? Did you hear him say that Allah is the Muslim name for God? Really? The God of the Bible? The God who says that his only begotten Son shed God's blood on the cross? Muhammad didn't say that Allah had a son. He said the opposite. He said that Allah does not have a son. And that is a true statement. Allah does not have a son. But the God of the Bible absolutely does. Allah is not the Arabic word or the Muslim word for the God of the Bible. But you can't say that to Muslim people because you will offend them. How about Rick Warren? He just retired from Saddleback Church after 42 years. And Rick Warren is a brave warrior for the Lord. How about this?
I could take you to 10 million villages around the world. The only thing in it's church. And I could take you to millions of villages around the world where the only thing in it's a mosque. There are more boots on the ground there. And hundreds of millions of people volunteer through their spiritual base on a weekly basis. What if we were able to mobilize that for these big issues? Sitting on the ground there, I came up with a plan we called the Peace Plan. P-E-A-C-E. Mm-hmm. Promote reconciliation. That's the P. Equip leaders. That's the E. Assist the poor.
Oh, yeah.
Care for the sick.
That's
educate
nice.
The next generation.
All right.
We've been doing this now for 6 years. And we're doing it with anybody who wants to work. In fact, I've found we're more willing to work with people than people are willing to work with us. And you know what? My attitude is you don't have to see eye to eye to walk hand in hand.
Stop right there, Rick Warren. Rick Warren just told you, you don't have to see eye to eye to walk hand in hand. Is that what the Bible says in Amos chapter 3, verse 3? Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Rick Warren just told you that two people who do not agree can hold hands and walk together. The Bible tells you that that cannot happen. Which one do you believe?
And you can disagree without being disagreeable. And this is what Barack Obama and I happen to agree on. 3 years ago, I took enormous heat for inviting Barack Obama to Saddleback Church because he had some views that people in my church would disagree with. And so what? And now, 3 years later, he's invited me to the inauguration. That's been a big deal. But you know what?
I really can't stand to listen to any more of that clip. The lies that come out of that man's mouth is just, they are too horrific. If you know anything about the Bible, everything that he just said, complete and total lie. He told you that he's willing to compromise the truth in order to have the acclaim of men and wealth and fame and riches. Let me tell you something. I don't want the acclaim of men. I don't want wealth and fame. I walked away from a Hollywood career where I was doing quite well. I don't want fame. I don't want riches. I don't want wealth. I just want Jesus Christ. That's all that I want. And wherever I go, I try my very, very best to take him with me. If I was asked to speak in front of a group of Muslims tomorrow, a group of Jewish people on Tuesday, a group of Buddhists on Wednesday, I would give the same message to all three of those very different groups of people. I would give them Jesus Christ, high and lifted up. And I would say it nicely, I would say it lovingly. I try very hard not to use the Bible as a hammer. I don't want to beat people over the head with it. I'm not called to be a Bible bully, but I am called to be a witness of Jesus Christ, and if you're saved, so are you. And if the Bible offends people, then let them be offended. But don't you dare compromise the truth. Don't you dare water down your message because you find it's like, oh, if I say that, then I'm not going to get invited back here. And if I give too many of those messages, it might cut the donations down. As soon as you start thinking like that, you are done, you are finished. We are called to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. So open your mouth and be a witness. We'll be right back after this.
Shady green pastures, so rich and so free. God leads his children along. Where the waters cool flow, bathe the weary child's feet. Lead his children, lead them along. Sometimes on the mountain, where the sun shines so bright, God leads his children, leads them along. Sometimes through the valley, through the darkness of the night, the same God leading those same children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but it always give them a song. And it's in the night season, and all the day long. Won't you let him take you through the fire? Let him take you through the flood.
Amen.
Let him take you through the fire. And we all, my must go through the blood.
Amen.
Won't you let him take you through great sorrow? He'll always give you a song. And it's in the night season. And all the day long. Oh no, oh no, 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 no. It's in the night season and all day long.
Amen, amen. All right, we are back for the last half hour of tonight's Bible study. We are looking at John 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no room for compromise. Now, people will say, if you'll just water down your message, everybody will know what you believe, and they'll know what you stand for. Don't be disagreeable. Get along to go along. Or is it go along to get along? And that's what all of these people that I've been showing you tonight. John Hagee, he has a ministry that has, for the last, 40, 50 years, Pope Francis is the vicar of Christ over the Roman Catholic Church. Rick Warren, best-selling author, hugely influential in the evangelical church movement. And yet all of these people are liars and compromisers because when push comes to shove, they won't mention the name of Jesus Christ. You know, that clip that I played for you of Rick Warren, that was from 2008. And he was talking about his peace plan that he had started back in 2002. And I have listened to a lot of those recordings. And I never found a single recording where he said to Muslim people, can you imagine? I want you to imagine this for a second. I want you to imagine that God has given you the opportunity to talk to a room filled with dear Muslim souls, 1,000 people in one room, and you are supposedly the preacher of Jesus Christ. And you get up in front of those 1,000 Muslim souls, and they're sitting there, and they're quiet, and they're respectful, and they are waiting to hear what you have to say. And you open your mouth and you don't say one single word about Jesus Christ being the way, the truth, and the life. And why? What could possibly possess you to keep that information from the very same people that you're supposed to be preaching to? If I had the opportunity to go preach tomorrow to a room of 1,000 Muslims, I would be over the moon, excited about that opportunity. I would pray up. I would have everybody praying for me. I would have everybody praying for the people who would be listening to me. And I would be so excited that God gave me an open door to go and speak to 1,000 Muslims sitting in a room. And if I had the opportunity to stand up behind that pulpit, whatever it was, I would look at those dear, sweet Muslim souls and I would tell them that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes on to the Father except through Him. I would say it nicely, I would say it respectfully, I would say it gently, I wouldn't yell, I wouldn't scream, I wouldn't pound the table, but I would look them right in the eye and I would tell them that without Jesus Christ, you have no hope of heaven. Because that is what the Bible declares to be true. Jesus, in the definitive article, if you know anything about the English language, the Library of Congress has over 15 million books. But only one of those books is the book. You know what the word Bible means? It means the book. That's what the word Bible means. A bibliography is a listing of books. Now, Shannon just said that if I would address that room full of Muslims and tell them that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, that they would have my head. And maybe they would, if I did that in a foreign country, almost guaranteed. But so what? They can have my head. You know what the Apostle Paul says? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Paul says, "For I am now ready to be offered. You want my head? Take my head." And that's exactly what they did. And Paul says, "And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing." Now, I don't think I can put my finger on the verse immediately, but I think it's somewhere around Acts chapter 14, 15, 16, where Jesus appears to the Apostle Paul, and tells him that God has much people in this city, and no hurt will come to him, and that he is to be brave and bold and fearless, and that's exactly, here it is, Acts 18, amen, Acts 18. Verses 9 through 11. Acts 18, 9 through 11. "Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them." There was a time where God set His seal on the Apostle Paul and said, "Paul, no man is going to hurt you, so go and preach and tell them about Jesus Christ." And then the day came where Paul knew that he was at the end of his time. And he says that he is ready to be offered, and the time of his departure is at hand. And you know what the Apostle Paul did? He could have got by. He could have gone along to get along. He could have lurked in the background. He could have had a silent witness. He could have lifestyle evangelism and just let his good life show people the gospel. But the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if you're called to be a preacher, you've got to preach. And if your message doesn't include Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to heaven, then you don't have much of a message. And you're not much of a preacher if you can't preach that. And so we see from John 14, verse 6, Jesus says the 9 deadly words that trips up every post-millennialist, post-tribulationist, hyper-dispensationalist, Freemason. Do you know that in Freemasonry, all ways are accepted, and Jesus Christ is just one of many ways? Is that what John 14:6 says? Now, if you're a Freemason, don't get mad at me. You know I'm telling you the truth. Does Freemasonry lift up Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life to the exclusion of all other ways? You know it doesn't. How about Jehovah's Witnesses? Do they witness Jesus Christ as the only way? No, they don't. If you're a Jehovah's Witness, you have to read the literature. You have to read, you can live forever in a paradise on earth, and millions now dead will live again. And all the other literature that was given to the apostles of the Jehovah's Witness Foundation. That's what you have to believe to be a Jehovah's Witness. What about if you're a Mormon? Is Jesus Christ the only way in Mormonism? If you're a Mormon, you know it's not. You know that they teach you that if you don't accept Joseph Smith as the true apostle of God, then you cannot be saved. If you're a Mormon, you know that that's true because that's what Mormons believe. Are you starting to see how hard John 14:6 really, really is? And when you look around the world and you look at all these different groups of people and everybody's just trying to get ahead, they're trying to sell their books, they're trying to sell their DVDs, they're trying to promote their speaking tours, they're trying to sell you their premium content. You know, back in the early days of Now the End Begins, I used to have this daydream that I would be on programs like Fox News and the Glenn Beck Show, and I would just be, you know, talking about all these world issues, and everybody would love my opinion because I just had so many smart things to say. That's what I thought, briefly, when I first started Now the End Begins. But you know what God told me? He said, why don't you take a stand for the truth? And why don't you take a stand for the Bible? And why don't you take a stand for Jesus Christ? And so I started to do that the best that I could. Have you ever seen my hate mail from other Christians who believe that the pre-tribulation rapture is a heresy? Have you ever seen my hate mail from people that are offended because I stand on the King James Bible as my sole source of authority? Because I believe that that is the place where God has preserved His Word. Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and sell it not. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy that pearl of greatest price. Sell everything and buy the field. Shannon knows the abuse that I take in the comment section. She knows. A lot of you know. You see what I have to put up with on a daily basis. Does that make me want to compromise? We recently celebrated 100 million visits over the last 11 years. And I think that's pretty good. When you realize what a hard, narrow stand that we take, and we still got 100 million visits to the website, I think that's really good. Now, That's not like the Drudge Report that will get 500 million views in one day. That's not like that. Or is it 500 million views a month? I'm not sure what it is. But the point of what I'm saying is, when you look at what other websites and social media does, 100 million lifetime visits is not a lot. But when you take the stand that we stand, then 100 million visits is off the charts fantastically good. And we try very, very hard not to compromise. But all these people that I've been showing you tonight, these are people who compromise because they are trying to advance their careers. If John Hagee told the truth to the Jewish people, overnight, his Kufi organization would cease to exist. Because the funding from the Jewish people would stop coming in. So he compromises his message. He preaches something called dual covenant theology. One covenant for the Christians, one covenant for the Jews. It is horrible Bible interpretation. And it's not true. There are not two covenants in the church age. God has a covenant with Abraham, and during the time of Jacob's trouble, God is going to fulfill that covenant. But God doesn't have a covenant with Abraham in the church age, not one that's working. And so if you're Jewish, you need to get saved in the church age. And if you don't get saved in the church age and you're counting on the covenant with Abraham, well, you know what's going to happen? You're going to miss the rapture. You're going to face the strong delusion, and you're going to have to go through the time of Jacob's trouble. That's what's going to happen. So why doesn't John Hagee tell the Jewish people that? Why doesn't Pope Francis tell the entire World Congress of Religion that Jesus Christ is the only way? Why do all these people compromise and lie and deceive? Because John 14:6 is true. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, to the exclusion of all other ways. I am the truth, to the exclusion of all other truth. I am the life, to the exclusion of all other forms of life. And nobody cometh unto the Father but by him. That's, if you're going to preach the gospel, that's the gospel. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and we are saved by his death, burial, and resurrection on the third day according to the scriptures. That is the gospel. And if you can't preach that in any context that you find yourself in, if you have to change your message when your audience changes, then you're not a preacher of the gospel of the grace of God. You're not worth your salt. And you are simply mouthing empty words to promote your career. The 9 most explosive words in the entire Bible, in either testament, in any book, in any chapter, Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is making the claim of sole authority over everyone and everything and every other way of getting anything done. And that's why John says in John chapter 10 that if you don't come through the door, and that door is Jesus Christ, John 10:1 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that enter in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." I hope this little Bible study on John 14:6 was illuminating to you. And if you are the type of person, if you have a lot of people that you like to listen to, if you have a favorite preacher or a favorite evangelist or a favorite author, why don't you do a little checking and see if they change their message when they change the crowd? Do they have one message for the home team and another message for the visiting team? The Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If you don't have the same message for different crowds, then you're not a Bible preacher. Case closed. You're not worth 2 cents. You might as well quit. Jesus said, "Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him will I be ashamed before my Father which is in heaven." And with that, we've come to the end of our time for tonight. Thank you so much. We had such a great day today. We had such a good time in the Word this morning. And I am so excited to see how God is blessing and expanding our ministry and opening new doors of opportunity with the St. Lucie Jail, with people like Stu and Rob Day, and the Plant a Seed Ministry, and oh, there's just so much going on. And I am excited to see that the Lord, even in year number 13, He still has new stuff for us to do. And that is very, very exciting. Lord willing, we'll see you back here tomorrow at noon Eastern time for another edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Have a great night, everybody.
To everyone who's lost someone they love, long before it was their time, you feel like the days you had were not enough when you said goodbye. And to all of the people with burdens and pains keeping you back from your life, you believe that there's nothing and there is no one who can make it right. There is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, and love for the broken heart. And there is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing. He'll meet you wherever you are. Cry out to Jesus. Cry out to Jesus. tears from her eyes. And for the children around the world without a home, say a prayer tonight.
There is hope for the helpless, rest for